Hello, everybody. I'm Dane Curley, and this is me clicking record. Shoutouts to my friends at G Fuel for the delicious energy formula, which I am now consuming. Keep me going after last night when I was glutenated. And, I've been to this restaurant, this Korean restaurant, maybe 100 times. Never been gluten, but I guess one of those little seaweed snacks had some soy sauce on it or something. I don't know what happened. My stomach was obliterated, and it is taking absolutely every ounce of energy to do this podcast after all the nutrition had left my body and my digestive system shut down for about 12 hours running now. But here I am. The show must go on, and it isn't over until the fat lady sings. Are you allowed to say that anymore? I don't think you're allowed to talk about fat ladies anymore. Anyway, I have a whole plan. And by plan, I mean a plan to do another unscripted podcast. the big thing on my mind right now is I was watching Star Trek Picard, which is the new Star Trek series that it's like 2 seasons now, maybe 8 or 10 episodes each. And it's just all about Captain Jean-Luc Picard, you know, portrayed by the legendary Patrick Stewart. And anywho, the first season was very good. The second season was not so good. A little herky-jerky. But with that being said, nothing has been so horrendous, absolutely horrendous, as the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Oh my gosh. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. Don't let them ruin Obi-Wan for you. The coolest character of the prelude trilogy in Star Wars. They took him and they smashed him down. Smashed him down into nothingness, into meaningless, trivial junk. Horrible, horrible, this Obi-Wan show. You don't get much action or much payoff, except for maybe the final 2 episodes. He's weak little bitch the whole time. He doesn't remember how to use the Force. Most powerful Jedi in the universe. Just slipped my mind. How to use that Force, Hook? I can't recall. What? This is preposterous. And then, not only do they nerf the hell out of Obi-Wan to make him seem like this lame little loser dork, which is what they do, not only that, but also, the main villain, who's it supposed to be? That's right, you've guessed it correctly. It's supposed to be Darth Vader. That's Obi-Wan's great nemesis. The boy he trained betrays him, goes to the dark side. I mean, that's what we're working with here. That's the lore of the show. If you're going to make an Obi-Wan Kenobi show, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Vader. And that's how they teased it. And that's what's in all the posters. And that's what's in all the trailers. But guess what, folks? Darth Vader is just a side villain. Can you believe? He's a side villain. So who's the villain? It's got to be somebody even crazier, more amazing, more badass and dark side and powerful than Darth Vader. No, it's just some woman that you never heard of before who they wrote just for the show, just to exist for the show. It's just some low-powered dark sider. Low-powered. Listen, you're going to get spoiled. The show sucks, I swear. I'm not going to ruin anything of substance, but I'm just going to ruin some stupid things. I'm not going to ruin them. I'm just going to highlight them. She swings a saber at Vader at some point, just because, you know, they're all darksiders and they're angry. And he just, like, stops her whole body from moving. Like, effortlessly. That's the main villain. Like, Obi-Wan already beat Vader. Did you not see episode 3? He beat him. It was an amazing battle. It was close. But Obi-Wan won. Chopped one of his arms off and both of his legs off and lit him on fire. Okay? You're going to have some rando woman added to the story you're going to tell the audience she's not very powerful. She's just kind of disgruntled about her life. And she's going to be the main villain. Oh my God. I wish that was the only part about it that sucked, but the writing was bad. The use of the Force was lame for like three episodes at least, maybe four. There are a couple of really cool Obi-Wan versus Vader and just Vader moments. But that's the whole show. Really, what they should have just done is a montage of Vader and Obi-Wan using high-powered Force stuff. Because the story sucks. It adds almost nothing to the characters at all. It takes away a little bit from Obi-Wan, I think. That's why I say they kind of ruined him. Takes away from him a little bit. You know, in Picard, Star Trek Picard, Picard's an old man, right? We've already seen Obi-Wan as an old man. So they couldn't do that. So what they did was they went between the end of the prequel trilogy after he defeats Anakin and between Star Wars A New Hope, which is technically episode 4, but it's the first movie that they made in the 70s. Well, they went between, which is cool. You could go between. What happens between? Oh, so many interesting things. No, nothing happens between. That's the problem. They added nothing. You know, they show you these, like, Inquisitors who are hunting down Jedis, but you already knew that was happening. You already knew that they were killing all the Jedis. They made it clear. And when, by time episode 4 starts, there's no Jedis. Remember? There's just Obi-Wan and Luke, remember? And Yoda. That's it. Oh, yay, yay. They ruined it. They're ruining Star Wars. I didn't see the Boba Fett show yet. I'd like to watch it, I guess. And the only other one I haven't seen yet is Rogue One, which I hear is like a cool war movie, but set in the Star Wars universe. And it's not about Jedi so much, or all the lore. It's just kind of a war movie of Rebels versus Empire. That could be cool. I'll entertain that. Just don't throw any beloved characters from my childhood into it and nerf them into, you know, such a weak state of performance that they cannot affect anything. And they're all sad. And what they were trying to do but executed poorly, they were trying to show, like, what it might be like to have, for a Jedi like him, to have PTSD, for a great man to have PTSD. But they already did that with Luke in the newest trilogy. The sequel trilogy, they already did that with Luke. They're kind of going back to the well. You know, you could just tell that this is a money-making scheme and it doesn't have high art in it anymore, and especially without having George Lucas attached to it. It's just everyone, you know, they're hiring writers to do a job. I don't feel the passion anymore. I don't feel the... And I like the new trilogy. I thought it was well done. I thought it adhered to Star Wars' principles and lore and mythology. But all these, you know, shoot-offs, including Mandalorian, which was good. But you can tell. I mean, the Baby Yoda was there to sell Baby Yoda toys, right? Like, come on. We know. But anyway, Picard, you know, he's an old man, and he is a beloved character, but... It's not spoiling anything because he's an old man now. And this is, like, he's super old man. Like, in real life, the guy's, I don't know, 8,000 years old? Something like that, right? Yeah, what is, let's see, I'll type it in. Patrick Stewart age, my friends. He's 81. He's born in 1940, okay? He's born in 1940, he's 81. And just an interesting fun fact, William Shatner is 91. Is he still alive? Gosh almighty. I said, gosh almighty, to be PC. Wow, he's born in 1931. William Shatner, the original captain from Star Trek of Montreal, Quebec. Where's Stewart from? He was born in Murfield, the United Kingdom. Yeah, he is Sir Patrick Stewart. That's right. Yeah, anyway, I bet he lives in frickin', you know, he was married in Nevada. So I bet he lives in L.A. like all the other Richies. All the other rich actors. People ask, what disease does Patrick Stewart have? And is Patrick Stewart rich? Why don't you mind your own business, you fucking Googling losers? Stupid. Does Patrick Stewart have children? Is Patrick Stewart still married? Those aren't so bad. Those are acceptable. That's like me Googling his age. But what disease does he have? I'm not going to click that. Yes, I am. He has As a result of his wartime experience during the Dunkirk evacuation, Stewart's father... Well, I didn't ask about, it's none of my business. I didn't ask about his father. Click the X. Get off there. Moving back to my podcast. Anyway, Patrick Stewart is 81 years old, and so the character Picard is... You know, maybe he's 81, or maybe because they're in Star Trek world and everybody's healthier, maybe he's even older to appear this old. You know, I don't know how they're going with that. It hasn't been clarified to me, but, you know, maybe he's 100. I don't know. It could be. But either way, it makes sense. His powers are nerfed because, one, he never had any magical powers, but, like, his faculties aren't as sharp as they used to be, and, you know, his toughness, it's less believable for him to be this stern, tough guy. He has to be a little more compassionate because he's just not the alpha male anymore. Capiche? Good. Now we all understand. So that made sense. But Obi-Wan, they did this PTSD angle, and it could have been done well. That's worthy subject matter. But it wasn't. It wasn't done well. They had a moment in the show where it was done well in this Obi-Wan series. And it was Obi-Wan, I believe, walking past a clone from the Clone Wars, still in his, like, ragged armor that was deteriorating and falling apart from the Clone Wars, you know, decades ago. And he's kind of just sitting on the side of the road begging for money. And that was, you know, poignant, you know, because, well, yeah, what did happen to all the clones, you know, because then you get stormtroopers after that. And you don't see the anybody's cloned faces, and you hear different voices and such, so you wonder what happened to all those clones that were made just to go to war in that era. And yeah, they get old, and they're, you know, they're old veterans, and they're not being taken care of by the Empire. Shocker! So some cool metaphors and allegories and all that good stuff are there, but I don't recommend the show. I don't recommend the show. Let Obi-Wan be who he already is to you before you watch the show. And then if you do watch it, just delete it from your memory. That's probably the, not your computer memory, your actual memory. Delete it from your brain. Control-Alt-Delete your frontal lobe. Okay? Is that where the memories are? Are they in the frontal lobe? Dane, you have the internet. Look it up, idiot. Yeah, I know. Where are memories? Do they even know? Do they even know where our memories are? Can they even know? Yes, of course. There's smart scientists out there. The hippocampus, fools, which is in the brain's temporal lobe, and it's where episodic memories are formed and indexed for later access. Okay, the hippocampus. So where's the hippocampus? I know it says that it was in the temporal lobe, but I need a diagram. I need to see. Hippocampus. It's where hippopotamuses go to college, at the hippocampus. Come one, come all. Every hippo is welcome. The hippocampus is, oh, it's a little tiny little spot. That's not what I expected. Are there two? Are there two hippocampi? That's right. I speak Latin. See, I only feign being stupid for the podcast. I'm a fucking brilliant genius. Okay? Now you know. Yeah, it looks like there's two little things here. Man, these diagrams, 2D side profile diagrams are not what we need anymore. It's 2022. Okay? When I look up where is the hippocampus on Google Images, it should start showing me GIFs, moving pictures. It should spray a little hologram out on my desktop here and, like, show it to me. And I could, like, spin it around with my hands and touch it. And why aren't we there yet? Like, at least just the GIFs part. It's 2D cross sections of a brain. How is that illustrative? You need to be like, you need to figure out where this hippocampus is like this. You literally need to go to med school to become a brain surgeon, and you need to have, like, you know, lamb brains that you're chopping up, and eventually a human brain, and that's, come on, we're beyond this. Give me a 3D model. I can't tell you where this is, because they're not showing me. But it looks like this weird ovaries-looking kind of thing, and this whole, like, female reproductive system looking kind of thing. I guess the amygdala would be these little ovary dots on either side. And then, you could tell I don't know much about female anatomy either. But either way, this hippocampus does look like the female reproductive system in a very loose way. Okay, don't hold me to it when you go look it up. In a very loose way, it's, you know, I don't know. It's all weird, weird brain goo parts. It's weird that they know that memories are in there. It looks like a little worm. A little worm. There's the hippocampus, and then the amygdala's on top of it, like the little worm head, like a caterpillar head. And then it's got these, like, snail antennas called the olfactory bulbs. And then don't ask me what the nucleus basalis of Maynard is, because I don't know. I have no idea. It's all part of the system, though. It's all part of this system. Okay, let's move on. You know, I can't give you any information about the brain. I'm too stupid. I'm too ignorant. I'm, like I said earlier, I am a super genius, but I don't have the knowledge on this particular subject. That's my issue. So anyway, Picard season 2, not so great. Lots of, you know, lazy writing. Season 1 was much better, much more rich and interesting and worthwhile. Had a couple dud episodes, but it was enjoyable overall. This one, it's, you know, very modern, and maybe modern right now for television is a bit of an insult, except for the outliers, right? The outliers like Twin Peaks, The Return, season 3 of Twin Peaks by David Lynch. You know, that's an outlier, amazing modern cinema / TV. But all the, what they're doing with all the Marvel shows and all the Star Wars and all the Star Trek, yeah, I don't know. I am eager to see Star Trek Strange New Worlds, but on the other hand, like three Star Treks running simultaneously, that's a bit much. You've got Star Trek Discovery, which is trash. You've got Star Trek Picard, which do watch for first season. And now you got Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I like the concept. It's going back to, you know, the Kirk times, or even right before the Kirk times. And you've got Spock on the ship and Captain Pike. And that looks cool. But I won't spend much more time on that because I've already vegged you all out on the nerdy shit. So let's talk about something that was not nerdy, but it still kind of falls into the sci-fi world. I went to the Alamo Drafthouse, which is a movie theater where you can order beers and food, and got a boozy milkshake that was really delicious, some kind of cold brew liqueur that was super awesome and delicious, and I got an old fashioned, or it was called like a fistful of bourbon old fashioned. They're trying to like be movie themed and such. Anyway, it was a good time. I had a good time. Oh, they're playing like Pulp Fiction there later on, so if you have an Alamo Drafthouse near you, they're playing a Pulp Fiction there this month or in August, either July or August, and that's cool. And they've added to the menu the Royale with cheese, so it's fun. It's, you know, it's for nerds, but you're probably a nerd if you're listening to this podcast on some level. You might think you're cool, but you're probably a fucking nerd. I have to take a little break to sip that G Fuel. I'm drinking this doozy fruit flavor still. I like it. I like it a lot. My previous favorite was Sonic's Peach Rings, but I like that better when it's in the can and carbonated. This one, the Doozy Fruit, it's delicious, like, out of the tub. Like, I just use the powder. Did I mention Patreon? Patreon! This podcast is brought to you by my Patreon patrons. Patreon! www.patreon.com/DaneCurley. Donate any amount today. Donate any amount. You could donate it today. And tomorrow you can cancel it. You do not have to maintain a subscription. You can give me $3. You can give me $3,000, maybe. Or what about $3 billion? Well, that's not a good impression of Lorne Michaels. Who is who Dr. Evil is? Dr. Evil is Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels. Lorne. I take my headphones off to hear my voice. Lorne Michaels. Dr. Eve. No, see, I'm not there. I'll practice it and I'll get back to you. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll make a comeback on Dr. Evil. $1 billion. I don't have it. I don't have it. I'm not going to get it just now. I'm not going to get it just now. I tried to do Chris Farley yesterday, hanging out with friends. It was hard. It was hard to do Chris Farley. But that's okay. I won my friends back with my invisible jackhammer routine, which you can see on my Instagram. Instagram at Dane Curley. DaneCurley. The movie I was about to get into that I think is like sci-fi-ish, but it's much more serious. It's not campy at all. Or maybe it is super campy. I guess it depends on your point of view. But it's not corny at all. It's not immature. It's not juvenile. It's not mass-produced. But it does. There is a Star Wars connection here. Let me make sure I get this guy's first name right. I know his last name is Tibbet. What we're going to talk about here is a movie that technically came out this year, but I think was finished 2 years ago. It's called Mad God. Mad God. Not two times, just one time. Mad God. And the Star Wars connection is Phil Tippett. Phil Tippett, who directed it. And did a lot more than directed, I suppose. This is from the wiki. He is an American movie director, an Oscar and Emmy award-winning visual effects supervisor and producer who specializes in creature design, stop motion, and computerized character animation. Over his career, he has assisted ILM and DreamWorks, and in 1984 formed his own company, Tippett Studio. Okay, so his career in stop motion, let's talk about that briefly, because this is where the Star Wars connection comes into play at first. In 1975, while still working at Cascade Pictures, Phil Tippett and John Berg were hired by George Lucas at Industrial Light and Magic, that's ILM, to create stop-motion miniature chess scene for the original Star Wars film. Do you remember that? Star Wars, the chess, the like it's like 3D hologram chess with like all different kinds of monsters, and like when you move your pieces, one monster picks one up and like breaks this, the other monster's back, or like rips them apart. I forget what exactly happens, but that claymation, stop motion kind of looking thing, that was this guy, Phil Tippett, who created Mad God. And they actually brought it back in the new sequel trilogy. There's, you see that chess scene on the Millennium Falcon, which is now like an old rust bucket, but they still have the chessboard on there, and Chewie plays against somebody, or he plays against two people. He beats both their minds, and they're like, well, you're, you know, hundreds of years old, or however that old Chewie is. Anyway, that's Phil Tippett. Apparently, he headed the ILM animation department with John Berg for The Empire Strikes Back, which is, of course, the second movie in the Star Wars canon to be created. That came out in 1980. For this film, Tippett co-developed the animation technique called Go Motion, which is a variation of stop-motion animation which incorporates motion blur into each frame involving motion. It was co-developed by ILM and Phil Tippett. Stop-motion animation can create a disorienting and distinctive staccato effect, and this Go Motion attempted to sort of rectify that, make it look a little more clean, I suppose. To animate the sinister AT-AT Imperial Walkers, aha, look at that, that's Phil Tippett, the AT-AT, the AT-ATs, which are the really big ones that, like, they try to trip by flying around in circles around their legs and with, like, a titanium cable and, or, you know, some kind of fake Star Wars cable, and then they fall face, like, they slide into their faces. That was so fun in this old video game that I had. What game was that? Where you, it was, like, on N64. Was that the, I don't know if that was the, Revenge of the Sith? No. That's one of the movies. Oh, we gotta find the name. Yeah, that's Episode 3's name. No, what was the N64 Star Wars game? Oh, come on. I gotta remember. Was it Shadows of the Empire? Or was it Rogue Squadron? Man, the N64 Star Wars games were so good. They were so good. Those two games are... If you have an N64... Get your little butts on eBay and buy yourself Shadows of the Empire for $15 used right now, and buy yourself Star Wars Rogue Squadron for $20 used right now. I'm seeing these right now. That's really cheap for the amount of amazing game you're going to get when you get those. Those games were so good. Even if you're not into Star Wars, those games were so good. Just the playability of the game, the responsiveness of the controls to the spaceship, it was... Man, there are new games that still aren't as good as those games. So anyway, in one of those two, let's see, Shadows of the Empire level 1, I think, was the Hoth level. Yeah, that was it! So if you play level 1, the first level of Shadows of the Empire, you're in the ship and you have to trip up these AT-ATs. It's so much fun, but it's challenging. It was always a little annoying, like... No, you gotta bail, you gotta disconnect the rope, you went around too wide, like, it's fun, it's fun. It's like you're really there, it's amazing. Sorry for the digression. Mad God is, the man who animated the AT-ATs animated Mad God. This movie is not for the faint of heart, okay? Apparently, it's said in the credits, I believe, that it was under production since 1987. The wiki says that it was under production since 1990. I guess we're splitting hairs since we're going back 22 to 25 years. But he began work on his project, Mad God. But he had to drop the project because it was too expensive and it was a passion project for himself. He didn't have the budget to make it. Okay. So eventually, in 2010, I think, I don't know how that can be, but it says in 2010, Mad God was brought back up. But Tippett did not have the budget for the film, so he started a Kickstarter. I honestly didn't remember that Kickstarter had been around for that long. It's 12 years old, Kickstarter? Wow. I don't recall it being around such and such the early days of the exploding popularity of the internet. You know, I think the exploding popularity of the internet in my mind comes with like YouTube in 2007 and all that kind of time period. Anyway, 2010, and he had a budget goal of raising $40,000. On June 16th, 2012, the project was successfully funded, exceeding that goal and obtaining $124,000. And he was releasing it in chapters, and apparently there were four chapters. He released two in August 2017, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's finally all assembled. Allegedly, they're saying it took 30 years to complete, but they just said in 1990 it'd start. 90? 2000? 2010? Holy crap, I'm an idiot. It's fucking between 30 and 33 years. Wow. I don't know. All my math is wrong. Ignore it. But yes, 30 years seems to be it's a long time. Apparently, a year before it was finished, Phil Tippett had a mental breakdown, causing him to go into a psych ward. Now, I was just saying this sort of thing isn't relevant with regard to the Patrick Stewart search, but actually, this is very relevant because this movie is harsh, super harsh. Like, every scene of this movie is some bizarre, horrific animation or combination of animation and what do they call it when it's real people? Gosh, I'm having a brain fart. I know that word. Live action. Thank you. And anyway, this movie is super hardcore. And Phil Tippett animated it, led it on visual effects, was the main consultant and the director and the writer and the producer, cinematography, production design, props, special effects, character design, and additional editing, along with many other people who helped. Let me just read you the plot, because you cannot capture this movie in words. It is not for the faint of heart. You can, if you can't make it to an Alamo Drafthouse to watch it in theaters, it is available on the Shudder streaming service, which is, you know, all horror, all thriller type, I guess, supernatural, they're saying as well. Basically fiction titles that are challenging to watch, you know, horror-related and horror-adjacent. And that's owned by AMC, but you can get that. It's a pretty cheap subscription, cheap monthly subscription. It's not like the full price of a Netflix. So, and you can watch Mad God there. Let me tell you about it, because you can't put it into words, and it might, like, don't watch it with your kids. It's not one of those horror movies where you bring the kids, okay? Please. It's harsh. And I can't find it on the wiki, so I'm going to quick look. I'm going to tell you how the movie opens up, and I won't tell you much more. The movie opens up with a Tower of Babel, okay? And, like, slaves or people trying to bring these huge, it's all stop motion, bring up these huge slabs up to the top to make it taller and taller, and the lightning is raining down, and all the people at the bottom, they're such a rabble. And then it shows you a quote, okay? And I would like to read the quote without saying what it is before I read it. "And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not fall for all this, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters ye shall eat, and I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you." And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest, and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths, when ye dwelt upon it. Blah, 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 blah. Mad God, mad God. He's angry. It's Leviticus. It's the actual Bible. It's the actual God from the actual Bible. That's the King James Version. KJV, baby. Yeah, that's how the movie starts, with that quote. And boy, does it set the tone. Boy, does it set the tone. If you're not sure you're going to be able to handle it, there's some fucked up shit in this movie. You may wish to see a couple of still images first. Make sure that it's for you. But I will say that Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 91%. But it's not a lot of people have reviewed it to get there. Okay. A rich visual treat for film fans, Mad God proves that even in the age of CGI, the cinematic allure of stop-motion animation remains strong. Definitely. But whoa, are they not giving you enough information with that blip of a review. It's bleak, it's stark, it's dramatic, it's disgusting, it's challenging, it's harsh? It's very harsh. It is not for children, I think I've said that already. Anyway, check out Mad God, if you're tough enough. That's it. Can I end this? I should end this. Oh, one little thing. Infinite Horrors, speaking of horrors, Infinite Horrors magazine has released. And I'm very happy that it's released because, speaking of Kickstarter, I was a major supporter. And they gave me a very special thanks written in the final page of their first issue, which is out now. And boy, what a fun magazine it is. It comes from the maker of Infinite Worlds, which is the science fiction magazine that My Story Holy Crisis was published in their issue number 4, and they wanted to branch out into horror, and I decided to support it. They supported me, and I wanted to return the favor. And so Infinite Horrors, issue 1 is now out. I don't have any stories in it or any art, but man, the art in this magazine is really excellent. It's really cool. I enjoyed flipping through it, nice and slow, looking at all the different full-color paintings, illustrations is the word I'm looking for. And there are stories, short stories, there are comic books. Some of these comics were really fun. Anyway, highly recommend. I don't know what it costs, but it ain't expensive. And I believe it's sold on the same website as Infinite World. So that's infiniteworldsmagazine.com. That's right. And there's a tab for Infinite Horrors now. Welcome to your nightmare. Like Infinite Worlds before it, Infinite Horrors is poised to change the game and its genre. A beautiful print magazine featuring 60-plus pages of shocking violence, spine-tingling art, soul-shattering horror stories, and comics, and interviews with the ghastliest of the ghastly. Full color, ad-free, limited edition, made by fans for fans. Issue 1, 68 pages of bone-chilling art, comics, and stories. And, let's see, if I could shout out some artists, Pedro Correa, Skinner, Shintaro Keigo, J.F. LeMay, and many more, plus interviews with cult film director Steven Kostansky and dark metal legends Pig Destroyer. Limited to 1,000 signed hand-numbered copies, now in print. Order issue 1 now. It's $18. It's worth it. It's really cool. Plus, you might find, if you like Mad God, you might also like Kostansky's work, Steven Kostansky, and it'd be cool to read his interview and see what art was created for that interview, because each interview gets unique art as well. So, very cool stuff. Anyway, that's it for me. Peace!
1, 2, 3. This is a podcast. Dane Noodles, this is a podcast. It's a podcast, Dane. This is a noodles
cast.
And we like sex.